Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com.
Brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. And Kane's Tire in San Rafael, the lowest prices in Marin for over 60 years. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Whitson and Joe Castellano.
Coming up, we'll talk about the Warriors' win in Chicago, and we will evaluate some of the players on the roster. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. TPC Harding Park in San Francisco is the home of the 2020 PGA Championship, and you will not want to miss this event. It's right around the corner now. Daily and weekly ticket options are available from opening day, that's May the 11th, to Championship Sunday, May the 17th, 2020, for the PGA Championship at San Francisco's very own TPC Harding Park. So check out a major in San Francisco. Go to the website, attend.thepga.com/tickets to purchase your tickets today. Well, Ray, the Warriors picked up a big victory at the end of their road trip. They've got a couple of wins now against the Chicago Bulls. And I don't know how much you look at wins and losses. I mean, for me, when I'm watching this season, really, I'm kind of taking it like it's a September baseball season, you know, where you're just evaluating talent on a game-by-game basis, not really looking at the record so much. How about you? And what did you think when you watched this Bulls game as the Warriors kind of held on there at the end?
Well, I've been saying it since we started the podcast this season. It is a redshirt season. I've been saying it since Steph Curry got hurt, basically.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. You know, I mean, and so you're going to find out, again, who's going to be on this roster when they make a playoff push next year, when, if they're healthy, they most certainly will make a playoff push. So in the meantime, you're looking for guys that fit. And what I saw on Wednesday was Glenn Robinson III look like a guy who could fit. That Willie Cauley-Stein woke up and, you know, is probably going to be helped by D'Angelo Russell being in the lineup as far as spacing. It definitely helps some of the things he can do on the offensive end, and he was a little more active defensively. So it was nice to see that Willie Cauley-Stein was starting to make a contribution. So they're starting to get a little healthier. I mean, it's got to be an embarrassment of riches for Steve Kerr to have the number of available players in double digits once again.
Yeah, exactly.
And Jacob Evans coming back next week, it looks like. And now he's going to have some decisions about who's going to get the minutes. And, you know, Kevon Looney just coming back, played only, I think, 8 minutes last night. They were trying him at power forward because they may not have enough minutes to spread around and center. So that's kind of a happy problem because guys are going to start competing. And I think Willie Cauley-Stein is one of those guys. He's got a $2.3 million option for next year. Maybe he's a trade piece, maybe not. But, you know, now's the time for him to show that he can be a part of the mix for next season. And if not, then maybe he's going to be packaged in a trade. We'll see. That's down the road. But there's still a whole lot of stuff to figure out with this team. Their offense is third worst in the NBA, and they were terrible on this road trip. They finally got to 100 points against the Bulls. You know, it's not all that surprising. They just don't have some of their best offensive players there, and they haven't had D'Angelo Russell for much of the season. So, it's an opportunity for a lot of guys to make their mark. And for other guys, if they can't make their mark, like Jordan Poole, he's just not been able to get it done. He's still very young, and it's still very early in his NBA career. But with Evans coming back, maybe he's got to go to Santa Cruz. So, it's all part of the little roster roulette that Steve Kerr and the Warriors playing right now. And, you know, the players are going to help them make that decision.
Yeah, I think with Jordan Poole, I mean, you're not going to last very long if you're shooting around 25% on your threes and you're supposed to be an outside shooter, and he kind of has a deer in the headlights look when he drives to the basket. So, yeah, the evaluation on him seems to be fairly clear. With some of the other guys, though, it's cloudy, Ray. I mean, when you mentioned Willie Cauley-Stein, I know I've been pretty down on him, and even Bruce Jenkins in the San Francisco Chronicle wrote a little item about how he said that he asked a number of NBA insiders if they could think of a reason to keep him long-term, and they couldn't come up with one reason to keep him. But, you know, then he shows flashes. Like, when he made that spin move against the Bulls later in the game, you know, I think it was the fourth quarter, you said, wow, where was that? You know, just back to the basket, spin and lay it in, or even on the lob that he got from Draymond Green, who threw some nice lobs in the game on Friday night. You know, that one too, where he just was more active and looks like something could be there, but you just don't see it that often.
Well, as we said, he's kind of been drifting. You know, he's drifting in and out, and sometimes you don't know he's there on the court, but you did on Friday night for sure. And again, I think that, you know, having an outside shooter, an offensive threat that draws the defense, like D'Angelo Russell, that's going to help him. But that's not an excuse. You know, Russell's absence, not an excuse on the defensive end. He's still got to get it done there, and it's been very inconsistent on that end of the floor. So, you know, the guy can be a shot blocker, and he hasn't been that much of a shot blocker, get some more rebounds and be a little more active getting up and down the floor, and he was positioned perfectly for the lob that ended up being the winning basket with about a minute to go. You know, those are things that we'll have to evaluate as hopefully he gets some playing time with Russell. And, you know, he didn't get much playing time at all with Steph Curry. Willie Cauley-Stein was just coming back from the foot injury when Steph got hurt. And, you know, it looks like he's just been working his way back in after that foot injury. I mean, not an excuse. If you're healthy enough to be on the floor, then, you know, they need to count on you. But still, we're about a third of the way, less than a third of the way through the season. It's still time for him to understand what this offense is about, what he needs to do defensively, and bring more consistent effort, I think, more than anything else. He doesn't, well, there's other guys out there. You know, there's Kevon Looney, who's back. There's Omari Spellman, who's starting to get trimmed down and has shown himself to be a fairly reliable three-point threat as well. And then you got Marcus Chris, who had a pretty good game last night, who's also pretty effective as far as taking lobs and you know, playing above the rim, getting some block shots, being a guy who can be a rim defender. So, I mean, again, with him, it's about consistency too. That's what they're going to look for from these guys in the next 50, 60 games. You got time to develop consistency, and there shouldn't be an excuse.
Well, you mentioned Chris, and it's going to be interesting when you're thinking about a roster decision. You got him, you have Kai Bowman. You know, who do you end up keeping? Who do you let go? And then if you end up keeping both of them, one of the veterans who might go, I was reading about how Alec Burks could be that guy, and I'd really hate to see him go. I mean, I know he's one of the older players on the team, but he's sort of a go-to guy. I mean, when the shot clock is running down, he is a guy that a lot of times you can count on. I've really enjoyed watching him play. I'd hate to see him go.
One of the guys who can create his own shot coming off the bench and can provide some offense, but if you're talking about a money crunch next season, then the veteran bench players are the ones that probably have to go. You got to go with the younger guys, guys like Marcus Chris, guys like Kai Bowman, of course, Eric Paschal, who they drafted down the road, Jordan Poole, Jacob Evans, so on and so forth. Be nice to have them around next year. I don't know if they can make that work financially. You know, are you going to sacrifice another veteran to do that? And then the question is, which veteran? But I like him. But Steve Kerr likes Kai Bowman. He thinks he's a guy who can develop. And they definitely like what Paschal's bringing to the table. So it's going to be a happy problem, I think, next year once everybody's healthy, is who you keep around. Now, a couple of these players are going to have to make a decision on whether to keep them on the roster here in a couple of months, whether to extend them for next season. But those decisions aren't going to be terribly expensive. So, again, a great opportunity, even with all the losing. And, you know, that I think they have a chance to improve as they're going through this.
Yeah, Eric Paschal seems to be improving a lot. One thing I've noticed about him is that he's not getting calls from officials a lot of times. You know, he'll pump fake, and he gets hit on the arm, and he doesn't get the call. Got to be frustrating for him, you know, because it's basketball. It doesn't matter that you're a rookie. You should still get some of those calls, but he's not always getting them.
Oh, you mean he's not getting the James Harden treatment?
Exactly. For
shame. Yeah. You know, I mean, but that's as much as I hate to accept this about NBA officiating, we all know it's true. They make the rookies earn their spurs, and they give preferential treatment to veteran players. They're crying out loud. LeBron James took three steps. He walked with the basketball wide open near half court the other night. And the referee's standing right there, and nobody called anything. So, I mean, that's just the way it is in this league. It's a bad look sometimes. But, you know, for a rookie player, I mean, all the veteran players are saying, hey, I had to go through it too. You know, some players are still going through it. Heck, Steph Curry's been going through it. I still don't think he gets the benefit of the doubt from officials on calls, but you know, maybe I'm biased about that. He certainly doesn't get the benefit of the doubt that some of the more quote-unquote marquee players that the NBA loves to, you know, put out there and market and push through social media, guys like LeBron and James Harden. So that's just part of the deal. And I think Pascal's experienced enough and mature enough to understand that. And I think for the most part, he's handled it pretty well.
By the way, another one of those guys that the NBA markets is Chris Paul, and I'm sure you heard the story about him yelling out, his jersey is untucked, referring to Jordan Bell of the Timberwolves, yeah. And it ended up being a delay of game foul, which ended up costing the Timberwolves the game, basically. So, I mean, that had to be frustrating for them, but you wonder how that's perceived around the league, too.
Oh, he's a snitch. That is so Chris Paul, right, isn't it? But that's what he does. He looks for every little edge there is, and he will take advantage of it. And that's, you know, I mean, that's a veteran player, and if his shirt's untucked, it's untucked. But let's put it this way. There's some players who wouldn't think of calling that. But Chris Paul has no problem with that. So that's kind of the way he is.
And I don't know about that. I don't know about that rule, too. A technical free throw for that? Not a foul, but it was a delay of game violation. But a technical free throw? Wouldn't you just get a warning for that?
I would think so. That's a little harsh. You know, it's a uniform or equipment issue. You know, it's like an NFL game. And, you know, the NFL has these guys, these watchdogs, these uniform enforcers who go around the league, make sure the guys have the proper socks and things like that. But does that mean if a guy doesn't have the proper socks, that a defensive player is going to yell at the referee, look, he doesn't have the right socks? Is that going to lead to a penalty? That seems awfully dumb.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's something maybe they can review in the offseason. Something that never probably would have come up unless Chris Paul had not decided to be a snitch.
So Jordan Bell is known for what? Ordering candles to rooms, and now this. Now a jersey untucked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least it was just candles, right? He didn't run up the bill for Mike Brown on that.
Right.
I mean, he didn't go out and get a Corvette. But, yeah, that's you know, he does some goofy things. It's one of the reasons he's somewhere else now.
Well, we liked him when he was here, but you know, one of the good stories that just came out this week involving the Warriors was Draymond Green having his jersey retired by Michigan State, and a good contingent of Warriors folks, you know, players and Steve Kerr, they made the trip there. They were there for Draymond Green, and he really, really appreciated it. It was cool to hear him talk about how, you know, that's the reason why he wants to stay a Warrior for life.
That was very cool. And listen, those guys have been through so much together in the last 7 or 8 years. So it was great that they were able to be there for him at that moment, you know, in a season that's not going to have a whole lot of highlights anyway. And I like how he said, you know, somehow we found a way to get Clay here. And I guess he doesn't have that reputation of being, you know, always dependable when it comes to showing up to these things. But, you know, that again showed how much he appreciated it to get Clay there. To be a part of the group that supported him. And listen, he's going to go down as one of the great players in Michigan State history, not just because of what he did in college, which he did a lot, but, you know, adding on to that in his NBA career. And, you know, there's still more work to do.
We'll continue our Warriors conversation after this from Canes Tire in San Rafael.
When it's time for new tires, you want the lowest prices and the best service, don't you? Well, Kane's Tire in San Rafael has you covered on both. Kane's has the lowest prices in Marin County, and they provide the warm and welcoming service that you can only receive from a family-run business. And this is a dependable family business that's been around for 61 years. Voted best of Marin for 35 years in a row, Kane's prices beat Costco's prices every time. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street in San Rafael. Give him a call at 415-453-2942. That's 415-453-2942 for Kane's Tire.
So the Warriors now have upcoming games against the Grizzlies and then the Knicks, the only team with a worse record than the Warriors. And the Knicks just had their head coach fired, David Fizdale. And Steve Kerr was quoted as talking about that, saying that if he had gone to New York, that would have been him. You know, he would have been hired, fired, 3 years ago. So, good for Steve Kerr that he ended up with the Warriors. But, man, the Knicks, they just continue to be a mess.
Well, I'm going to harken back to the week in which Steve Kerr was hired as the Warriors coach. And he had I was filling in that day on Tom Tolbert's show with Tom, and we had Steve in studio. I just kind of joked about, I just kind of said, well, that was a good move on your part, but, I mean, in a way, it's not a hard decision. I mean, do you want James Dolan's mess right now or ever? So how many coaches since he was hired by the Warriors have the Knicks had in the last 5-plus years? I think there's many times where Steve Kerr thanks the stars above that he had the judgment to go to the Warriors. And, some of that probably was influenced by family as well, since all his family's on the West Coast. But, basketball-wise, wow. What a run he has had. And I don't think it's going to be dimmed at all by what's going on this year. In fact, I think when it's all said and done, it might actually add to his coaching resume, because he's going to be able to develop some players who might help out big time on a team that's going to make a championship run, or at least a playoff run next season. So, I like what he said. He said, that would have been me 3 years ago. And I was thinking to myself, well, you got to give yourself a little more credit than that. But given the dumpster fire that is the Knicks, maybe he's right.
Yeah, well, that's Steve, too. He's always humble. One thing I wanted to mention too, I always follow you on social media as closely as I can, and you did mention something about D'Angelo Russell, that you were coming around on him, and it's interesting because the timing is good to talk about this, because that's part of the evaluation process too for the Warriors. You know, what do they want to do long term with D'Angelo? Does he get traded? We know that he's a big time scorer, but how does he fit in with his team? Are you feeling that he's fitting in a little bit better?
Well, right now it's hard to evaluate because he hasn't been there much. But what I see with this team is you've got a bunch of guys who are going to benefit greatly from having, offensive threats that space the floor. When you have Steph, when you have Clay, when you have D'Angelo, the rotation last year was, how do you work with Durant and Draymond and Steph and Clay? You need to have two of those outside threats on the court at the same time, I think, and you increase those chances when you have three guys like Steph, Clay, and D'Angelo. And D'Angelo Russell, again, is still relatively young, and he seems to be getting better every year. I think that'll be the case this year, that he's going to add to the learning curve as long as he's able to stay healthy and get a good run of games in now. Plus, he's a guy who can create his own shot. And, you're talking about a guy with some size, too. He's not known as a great defensive player, but I think he's capable, like Glenn Robinson III, of being a better defensive player as he goes along. So it's enticing to think about that, because they had those three all-star offensive threats in Durant, Clay, and Steph, and they were very hard to stop. I'm not saying that D'Angelo Russell is going to be the same threat that Durant is, but there's still room for growth there. So it's kind of intriguing to see what he would be able to do with all those guys on the floor, and you want to give him a chance to do that maybe next year. But my addendum to that tweet was, of course, if the price is right, if there's an offer out there that you can't turn down, for one of the marquee players in the league, and you know, maybe you package a guy like Russell and Willie Cauley-Stein in a top draft pick. And of course, they're not the worst record in the NBA now, thanks to the Knicks. And they're probably going to add to the Knicks misery coming up next week. So, you know, it's 6-1, half a dozen of another to me now. My first instinct at the start of the year is, oh yeah, they're gonna play him, and he's probably gonna do what he does, and maybe show some improvement. And you hope he does, because that'll increase his trade value. But I don't know if the Warriors are there. I think they're still very much in the evaluation stage when it comes to what they're going to do with D'Angelo, because they're, I mean, again, a young player who is still heading into his prime years. It's kind of hard to sneeze at that.
Yeah, I mean, he's only 23 years old, so that's one thing.
Yeah.
Another thing that I wish we could have seen more of is him playing with Steph Curry. Unfortunately, Curry got hurt, but I wanted to see how that got figured out, because it seemed like at times, you know, it wasn't really going to work. You have two guys that are scorers, two guys that are handling the ball, but, you know, you need more time to see that. And Klay Thompson, and certainly Russell, when he's played this year, he's played like an all-star offensively, not defensively, but offensively. And, you know, he's missed some games because of some injuries. They haven't been major injuries. But, you know, some of the experts are saying, yeah, you can get maybe a late lottery pick and a rotational player for Russell, which sounds like, you know, hey, that'd be pretty good with your own lottery pick. I mean, that you're starting to really build something. But again, for me, I would love to see him with Klay and Steph, and how does that all work before I decide, you know, that I want to trade him?
Hmm. Well, yeah, you're talking about a lottery pick that may or may not work out versus a guy who's already an all-star,
right?
And it's still on the come up. And you know, you want to see again how he plays with Steph, how he plays with Klay. Maybe he's going to be a pretty good rotational player with Klay, because Klay doesn't need the ball as much. And that's something you want to find out, but they won't be able to find out for quite a while. So, I think if you are able to take care of some of the other needs on this team, such as a wing defender who can shoot and can take lobs, and maybe Glenn Robinson ends up playing the Iguodala role. I was seeing a lot of discussion of that this week. It's not, again, not to say that he's going to be like Iguodala, who, especially in 2015 and 2016, was just sensational. But he could kind of fill that role. He seems to be going in that direction. I mean, there are a lot of answers that they could get before they even start next season. So, and maybe D'Angelo Russell is going to be one of them. So I would say the scale is moving a little bit more toward keeping him, as far as I'm concerned. But it's not a lead pipe cinch, of course.
Yeah, well, there's plenty of time to try to figure that out. All right, to finish up here, I just want to say that it was really great news to see you shared on social media that you got through the treatments for your prostate cancer, and I'm really happy to hear that. I know a lot of people that listen to the podcast and former KMBR listeners to your show are very happy with this news. So congrats, Ray, on that, and here's to good health.
Well, thank you, Joe, and thanks to the people over at the Arizona Cancer Care Center. They gave me a diploma for getting through the 45 days of treatment. So I feel like framing that with my real diploma. And they gave me a T-shirt. And, you know, listen, I mean, they're great to work with. And it's important to have people you like when you've got to see them every single morning. And that made it a lot easier for me. So now we just go with the post-treatment regimen, and we started doing some things before the treatment that I think are going to help out long-term. And like I was telling my family, don't worry about me. I'm in good hands, and I think I was. So looking ahead to 2020.
Absolutely. All right, and we look ahead to next week. Thanks a lot, Ray, and we'll talk to you again next week about the Warriors.
Sounds good, Joe.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.